Today on Bold Steps, Mark Jobe addresses the sensitive yet imperative topic of sexual purity.
Sexuality within marriage, in the proper perspective, is viewed before God as holy. In fact, sex in your bedroom is as holy as your praise on Sunday morning or your prayer in your morning devotions. That's part of God's design for any marriage that's there.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Pastor Mark Jobe. Mark is president of Moody Bible Institute and also senior pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. Today, we're confronting a topic that often goes undiscussed in many churches. In fact, it's sometimes considered a taboo topic and one the church is often silent about, and that's the topic of sex. Mark, I think it would be a disservice to conclude our marriage series Before and After I Do without addressing this subject, don't you?
Absolutely. And Wayne, here's the thing. I think a lot of times, because it's a bit of a sensitive topic, because people are a little bit uncomfortable with it, especially in a church setting, we don't talk a lot about it. And so people get their information from the wrong sources. But I tell you what, the Bible has a lot to say about sex, about purity, about the bedroom, about marriage. And so it may make some people uncomfortable, but God jumps right into it. And so we need to as well. So I think, just a disclaimer, you know, if you have young children, maybe they, you know, they need to go into the other room while you listen to this program. But this is an important topic for any adult, whether single or married, to listen to God's perspective on sexual purity.
So let's listen to the power of sexual purity.
I read recently a survey that was taken among junior high and high school kids, and they were asked where they learned about sex. The great majority responded that they had learned about sex through other students, high school and junior high students, that that's where they got the majority of their information from. That's scary. And then others said that the second most used place where they got information was through television and media. So our generation of high schoolers and junior high have learned what they know about sex through other students, through their distorted view of sex, and then they've supplemented that understanding through television and media. Very few said that they had learned what they knew about sex and sexuality through their parents. So what's happening is there's a whole generation whose parents are being silent about this topic, and this culture is saturating people's minds about this topic, oftentimes in very distorted forms. By the way, my focus isn't parents how to talk to your children about sex, but I do want to say, men, look up at me. If you have children, I believe if you have boys, that primarily the responsibility to talk to these young men at an early age about sex falls squarely on your shoulders. And you may say, Pastor, man, I can do a lot of things. I can bench press 250 pounds, but talk to my boy about sex, I mean, I have no idea where to start. Because maybe your father never talked to you about it. But I want to say, hey, we are cycle breakers and legacy makers. So you need to be the first generation to engage in a good, honest conversation with your children about sexuality. My perspective has been that there's not the one talk that we have. My perspective is that there has to be this ongoing conversation as they grow up. When they're small, and as soon as they start asking questions, answered them candidly and openly, age appropriately. But I think there has to be this ongoing conversation that we're having about this topic. I remember when my son Josiah, he must have been 9 or 10 years old, and we were riding in a car together, and the radio, there was a Christian radio program, and they were talking, they mentioned the word rape on the Christian radio. And so my son, who was in the back seat driving, he said, hey, Dad, what's rape? This is when you kind of want to say, you know, when we get home, ask your mother. But I decided that I would answer that question. And so I said, well, son, it's when someone forces another person against their will to have sex. So there was a little pause in the back seat, and he says, so, sex. How exactly does that work, Dad, again? I know I kind of know. And so I'm driving, and I'm just kind of explaining a little bit of the basics of the male and female and, you know, coming together, and that's where babies come from and reproducing. And he's getting a little bit more wanting to know, well, exactly how does that happen, Dad? And so I'm kind of explaining things a little bit more exactly how that happens. And then in a typical 9-year-old fashion, after he understood what it was, he says, wow, that is gross, Dad. Then he pauses for a second. He counts that we have 3 children. He says, so you did it with Mom 3 times? And he was like, I'm like, yeah, son, 3 times. Another friend of his is Pastor Asa, and Pastor Asa has 4 kids, and he said, and Uncle Asa, 4 times? I know he was coming to church and looking at people, wondering how many kids they had and counting, like, some of you that have 7 kids, he was like, yeah, 7 times, huh? But I believe that sex education is not the responsibility of the school system. I believe that sex education is the responsibility of the parent in a healthy environment in which we dialogue openly and honestly from a godly biblical perspective so that our children understand both the beauty and the danger of sexuality. See, oftentimes the church has been silent about sexuality, or when sex is talked about, all we hear is no, no, bad, bad, ugly, don't. So there's almost this interpretation, if you're around certain churches and certain places, that this is a very evil, dark, bad thing. I think we need to understand really in Genesis chapter 2, verses 24 through 25, in the very beginning, it says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. I think from that little verse in the very beginning of the Bible, you understand a couple things about sexuality and the way that God created us. Number one, God creates us as physical beings, not just spiritual, and that's good. Number two, God creates us as gendered beings, in other words, male and female, and that's good. And number three, God creates us as sexual beings, and that is also good. In other words, if you go to the beginning of the Bible, rather than having this distorted view of either of that it's a bad thing, I want you to know that God is the creator of sexuality, the initiator of sexuality, that it was by God's design. It came out of the holy heart of God that he would put within a man a desire to be with a woman, and that he would put within a woman the desire to be with a man. That's God's creation, God's design. The fact that when a little boy reaches the age of puberty, and when a young woman reaches the age of puberty, that they start having an attraction to the opposite sex, that's a good God-given attraction that's been placed in there by the Creator God. That the fact that a man is attracted to the naked body of a woman and the woman is attracted to the embrace of a man, those are God-given desires, not a distortion, not evil, not a terrible thing, but a good thing. But like anything that God gives us, any appetite that God gives us, it needs to be managed, it needs to be controlled, and it needs to be in God's timing. God gave you an appetite for food, and food is good. But if you overindulge in candy and pastries and wrong kind of food, then it will be damaging to you. Food is good, but an out-of-control appetite will hurt you. Sleep is good. God engineered our bodies so that we need those 6, 7, 8 hours of sleep a night, and your body is restored, and there's these depths and levels of sleep that re-energize you, and if you skip those, it affects your body. And sleep is good, but if you overindulge in sleep, it becomes laziness and it overtakes your life. And so every appetite that we have in life is good, but it needs to be in the proper perspective, the way that God wants it to be. And sex is no different. That desire is a God-given desire, and I coach and mentor young men in there between the ages of 18 to 28. And oftentimes that's a big struggle, this high hormones and this supercharged desire for a woman. And I always try to tell them right in the beginning that this is a good thing. This is a God-given thing. It's like an energy that they have, but they have to be able to learn to manage it, control it, and channel it. And then that within the context of marriage, that it can be unleashed. God has a lot to say about sexuality, and unfortunately in the society that we live in, our culture has given us the wrong understanding and the wrong messages about sexuality. In fact, do you realize today that nearly one in every four Americans, that 65 million people, are currently living with an incurable sexually transmitted disease, an STD? So what I know is that one out of every four people in this congregation, 25% of this people in this congregation, are probably living with a sexually transmitted disease. It's indicative of the society that we live in, indicative of the culture that we live in. And the extreme of culture that we live in today is that sex is amoral, that there's no morality tied to it. You talk to the average college student today, go down to UIC or Northwestern University or DePaul University or Chicago or just any university around the city of Chicago, interview some college students, and by and large, the mentality that many college students, 22, 23, 24-year-olds have is this, is that as long as it's consensual, as long as it's no one's getting hurt, and as long as you use protection so that there's no pregnancy or sexually transmitted disease, that there's no wrong in it, that it's okay, as long as it's consensual, as long as you're having fun. And in fact, it's looked at as a physical act, almost like someone, you know, you're hungry, you go have a hamburger. If you feel like having sex, you have sex. And more, this idea of friends with benefits is in, which means that he's not really my boyfriend, it's not really my girlfriend. There's really no commitment there. We just are giving each other favors. So the mentality, by and large, is that sexuality is amoral. There's no morality attached to it. As long as no one's getting hurt, it's okay. You can engage in. Everybody does. It's kind of common. And so that's pretty much the world that we live in. God has a perspective on sexuality that elevates sexuality to another place. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that because I think it's really vital to understand God's perspective on this.
We'll explore that perspective in just a moment as we continue today's Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. But it's important that we thank our Bold Steps partners who make this ministry possible, Mark.
Absolutely. So our Bold partners are listeners who've committed to giving monthly donations. We're extremely grateful for those of you that view this ministry so important that you say, I want to do it on a monthly basis. And that's a growing number of people all across the country that are helping us do this. Many of you know that we have Bold Steps now in Malawi, Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And we love when we're getting emails from people in Africa so far away and some of them so little exposure to Jesus. But we're getting some really, really good responses from them.
Yeah. Would you read one that came in recently?
Yeah. So this person says, hello, I'm very happy to see many Yao Muslims gave their lives to Jesus Christ at the same time that I have been baptized. Right now, we have started fellowshipping together, and many are joining us. Please help us to pray for those who have given their lives to Jesus, that they may grow spiritually. Yes, the Bold Steps program is changing lives. Therefore, we urge you to continue to broadcast them. Thank you so much for impacting us with a seasoned message, your listener, and then they give their names.
Mm-hmm.
I am so excited to get emails like that. People that were steeped in Islam coming to Jesus, understanding who he is, embracing him as Savior, getting baptized, joining a church. And this is what you, as a Bold Step partner, are helping
us do. That's what I was just thinking. Our partners make that possible.
Yeah, and this is a special time because we're almost at the end of our fiscal year. Our fiscal year ends at the end of June, and so we have 2 weeks. It would really help us out if you gave a special gift to end our fiscal year. So pray about it. If God puts on your heart, we could really use some gifts to end our year well in Jesus' name.
So thank you to our Bold Steps partner. And if you'd like to partner with us, just go to our website, boldstepsradio.org, and all the information is there to sign up and begin giving as a Bold Steps partner. Thank you. Now back to our message. Here again is Mark Jobe.
I want to say, first of all, that Paul was ministering to a city, the city of Corinth, that struggled probably with a lot of the same things that the city of Chicago struggles with. There was a temple in Corinth. I've been to the ruins of Corinth and seen where that temple sits, that had 1,000 women that worked in the temple, and they provided religious services that involved sexual favors. In essence, they were temple prostitutes. Mixed in with their spirituality was prostitution. And so if you wanted to say someone was a partier, you would say they're a Corinthian. Corinth was known as a city that partied. There was a lot of just sexual liberation, so to speak, that happened in Corinth. And so Paul was talking to a church that was birthed in the city of Corinth, where everything that happens in Chicago was happening in Corinth. And Paul is trying to tell them, listen, you need to get God's perspective on sexuality rather than your culture's perspective on it. And so he's explaining to them, talking to them about a couple misunderstandings that they have. And we're going to address three misunderstandings that Corinth had. And I believe those are some of the same misunderstandings that may exist today in our society. Before I jump into the question of why I should stay sexually pure, which is what Paul answers, let me talk for a moment about marriage and sex in marriage. You know, the Bible also has a lot to say about sex and marriage. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, the writer of the Hebrews says this, "Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled. For God will judge the sexually immoral and the adulteress." The writer of the Hebrews says, hey, let's honor marriage. Let's make sure that marriage is not dishonored or disrespected or people don't look at it. Let's look at it as something that's elevated, but make sure that the marriage bed is undefiled. In other words, what the writer of Hebrews is saying is that the marriage bed is holy, it's sacred, it's good. But let's make sure that we don't defile it by affairs, by wrong thinking. Let the marriage bed be undefiled, be dedicated unto God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2 through 5, the Apostle Paul is also talking to the Corinthians, and he's talking to them about single and married, and he says, "But because of the temptation to be sexually immoral, each man should have his own wife, and each woman her own husband." He says, hey, if you're being tempted, if this is really hard, there's an alternative to single life, and it's married life. And then he says, the husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights. As the husband should not withhold from his wife sexual intimacy. And likewise, the wife to her husband. And then he goes on and gives a perspective about this. He says, for the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. He's talking to married couples and he's saying, hey, you can't get into marriage and say, listen, I don't want to have sex. I know I'm married, but I decided I don't want to have sex. And he says, you know, your body belongs to each other. The wife's body belongs to the husband. The husband's body belongs to the wife. You are one with each other. You are no longer two separate, able to make those decisions. That part of the The joy and responsibility is that you are one with one another. And he says, do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement for a limited time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer, but then come together again so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. So he's selling marriages, Christian marriages, by the way. He says, he's basically saying to Christian marriages, sex should be a part of your marriage. It just needs to be a healthy part of any marriage that's there. And listen, to withhold sexual intimacy within marriage Paul commands, it's a sin to be repented of before God and your partner, like infidelity outside of marriages as well. If you want to hear more about that, and I don't have time to really talk a lot about it right now because I'm going to get to why you should stay sexually pure, Proverbs chapter 5, verse 15 and 19, the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, talks about sexuality in marriage, and he's talking to married couples here, and he uses the analogy of drinking from a fountain, and he says, drink water from your own cistern. What he's saying is, hey, satisfy yourself in your marriage. Don't go outside of your marriage. Flowing water from your own well. Should your spring be scattered abroad, the streams of water in the streets? He says, no, you know, you need to drink of your own well. You need to learn to satisfy your thirst in the well that God has given you. Let them be for yourself alone and not for strangers with you. Then he says, let your fountain be blessed. He's talking about sexual intimacy. Let it be blessed. And he says, and rejoice in the wife of your youth. Now, he's not saying rejoice in her only if she's young. He's saying rejoice in the wife that you've had since you were young. And as she grows older, guess what? She's not the only one growing older. You are growing older too. So learn to enjoy her as you've enjoyed her since your youth. And then he says, a lovely deer, a graceful doe, let her breasts fill you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated in her love always. I mean, he's talking about the marriage bed, and he's talking about sexual fulfillment in marriage, being the part. He says, turn your attention towards one another, and this should be part of any healthy marriage, any godly marriage. Sexuality within marriage, in the proper perspective, is viewed before God as holy and pure. In fact, sex in your bedroom is as holy as your praise on Sunday morning or your prayer in your morning devotions. It's viewed before God just as pure and holy and right in that way. That's part of God's design for any marriage that's there.
You're listening to Bold Steps, the Bible teaching ministry of Mark Job. We'll continue this lesson on the power of sexual purity when we return for tomorrow's program of Bold Steps. In the meantime, if you'd like to catch up on any part of today's segment or find an earlier lesson from our series called Before and After I Do, just visit our website, boldstepsradio.org. While you're there, you can also check out the other faith-building opportunities and resources we have available, including our current Bold Steps gift. This month's selection is a convicting book that goes along with our series on marriage. And Mark, why don't you take a moment and tell us more about it?
Marriage is one of the most important, long-lasting relationships we can have in this life. But sadly, many married people these days seem to just be going through the motions, settling for a relationship that's guided by whatever the day may hold, without a plan, without conviction, and without God. That's why I'm passionate about this month's Bold Step gift, written by lifetime marriage counselor and best-selling author, Dr. Gary Chapman. It's a book called A Couple's Guide to a Growing Marriage. And this engaging Bible study will walk you through the process of bringing God into every detail of your marriage, offering a new level of understanding and intimacy with your spouse. Life is full of change. And in marriage, that change can either be for better or for worse. So don't be passive about where your marriage is going. Take the reins and make a positive change with this insightful Bold Step gift. I'm happy to send you a copy when you give a gift of any amount today to support the ministry of Bold Steps.
Thank you, Mark. To give and request your copy of A Couple's Guide to a Growing Marriage, visit us online at boldstepsradio.org. Or if it's easier, just give us a call at 844-615-7363. Or write to us and send your donation in the mail. Write to us at Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. And I want to remind you that if you ever want to listen to these daily messages on your own time, perhaps while you're out for a jog or running errands, all you need to do is download the Bold Steps podcast. You'll find us on any of the major podcast platforms by simply searching for Bold Steps with Dr. Mark Jobe. And while you're there, we encourage you to leave a comment or consider sharing the podcast with a friend. Well, that's our time for today. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Be sure to come back tomorrow for the second half of our message on the power of sexual purity, the conclusion to our series, Before and After I Do. That's coming up Thursday on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.